The Bush administration has called for cost-cutting over a wide variety of domestic programs, but wants to add federal money to drug courts, special tribunals targeted at lawbreakers with a drug problem. There are more than 1,000 such courts across the country, and their goal is to keep people out of overcrowded prisons and get them off drugs. The idea is promising, if not yet proven. NPR's Libby Lewis visited one court in Las Vegas.
All rise. Drug court is now in session. The Honorable Jack Layman presiding. Please be seated and come to order.
Sitting in Judge Layman's drug court is a little like what they say about taking drugs. They're the highs.
Okay, we've got a graduation today, and that's Andrew Anderson. Let's hear it for Andrew.
And there are the lows.
You're doing lousy. You're hanging by a thread right now.
Before he goes home tonight, Judge Layman will see about 150 people in this courtroom. They're here because they've been convicted of some nonviolent crime, and they have a drug problem. And they're here to avoid going to prison. Drug courts got their start in the late 80s and early 90s, just as the number of drug cases was exploding. Back then, Judge Layman recalls, a lot of people thought drug courts were hooey.
They were saying, I don't know why you want to mollycoddle these druggies, and we ought to put them in prison and throw away the key.
But they found out for every inmate, that cost about $23,000 a year. Drug courts vary, but they have their own approach and their own lingo. If you're in drug court, you have regular drug tests, treatment, and job requirements to try to keep you straight. The judge is like a super probation officer in a black robe. If you stay straight, coming to court to see the judge is a breeze.
Jermaine, you're an outstanding human being. I'm proud to have you in the program.
If you test positive for drugs, that's called a dirty. If you test dirty, or if you're a no-show in court, you could pay a fine, or you could do jail time. Mess up enough, and you're terminated. That means you're out of drug court and off to prison. There's a fair amount of messing up. Rose Strick is 43 and a mortgage lender. She was arrested for leaving the scene of an accident, and then police found 5 grams of cocaine in her purse. She has a hip haircut and a Juicy Couture purse, but she's out of fashion big time with Judge Layman. She's tested dirty 3 times for amphetamines, then she missed a drug test.
I'm going to tell you something right now, Rose. Listen to me closely. If you ever, ever, ever fail to leave a urine again, I will immediately terminate you from the program. I will walk over and see the judge and make damn sure you get sent to Nevada State Prison. How dare you fail to leave a urine?
Your Honor, I have a letter from the doctor.
The idea here is to use court as leverage to make people want to stop using drugs. It sounds good, but does it work? Judge Layman says yes. He led the movement for drug courts in Nevada.
I get letters all the time from parents, husbands, wives, brothers, sisters, girlfriends, boyfriends, who say, thanks a lot. What you've done has saved our home.
President Bush agrees. While he wants to eliminate dozens of programs, he wants to boost funding for drug courts from $40 million to more than $70 million. John Walters is the president's drug czar.
I think the power that we've seen is the ability to reclaim individuals for the community in a healthy and positive fashion. Many of these people have children. They all have families, and to put those back together takes a lot of work, but we've now seen with drug courts they can be an important tool.
The research on drug courts is mixed. That's partly because drug courts are still relatively new, and it's partly because it's so hard getting people off drugs, even with the threat of prison. What is clear is that drug courts are better than the alternatives. Doug Marlowe is a researcher at the University of Pennsylvania. He studied drug courts for years.
Putting individuals in jail or putting them in home detention or putting anklet monitors on them and treating them through the criminal justice system just has very little, if any, effect on criminal recidivism or drug use. And they have been, frankly, abysmal failures.
And studies show treatment alone is just as big a failure. Marlowe says he believes drug courts are extremely promising, but they have detractors on both the right and the left. He says for drug courts to prove themselves, there's still a lot to figure out to make them work better. For instance, who's better off in drug court? Who's not? How much of a role should the judge have? Even with all the questions, Marlowe says drug courts have bumped the debate over drug abuse out of its rut, the one that goes, is it an illness or a crime?
It really has the goal of holding people accountable essentially for their own good and society's own good, and not being punitive for the sake of being punitive, but being punitive for the sake of helping people get better.
Linda Finley's learning that firsthand in Judge Layman's court. Finley's 46. She's in drug court after being convicted of carrying 9 grams of cocaine. She has been clean for months, but lately she's tested dirty for cocaine twice. Now she's looking at up to 3 years in prison if Judge Layman throws her out of drug court, which he's just about to do.
Go ahead and put her in cuffs. She's all done. She won't have to worry about anything because she's going to be in Nevada State Prison.
But, Your Honor, I've been in perfect compliance for 7 months.
And then you come in here dirty twice for cocaine? I don't feel sorry for you, lady.
But then the prosecutor says he thinks she should get another chance. And Judge Layman eventually agrees. So he sends Finley to jail for a week. The bailiff escorts her out in handcuffs, and her last words are something you don't expect to hear. Thank you, Judge Layman. Libby Lewis, NPR News.